What can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
Welcome to this week's service here in Bedhampton in Hampshire. My name is Max Cross. I'm the rector, that's the church leader here in Bedhampton. And I want to welcome you this week to our harvest and our vision service. Once a year, we normally have a harvest service, and another time we often have a vision service as we look at our vision and our purpose for Bedhampton. And so this year, we've combined the two, both two physical services, and also this online service. So welcome to our Harvest and our Vision service this year, where we will thank God for all that he has done for us and also commit ourselves to the next year of God's work here in Bedhampton or wherever you happen to be. Before we begin our worship, I wanted to remind you of some news that's in the parish. I want to remind you of what's going on during the week, because things are still happening during the week, even in this time of the pandemic. Each week, we meet for prayer online at 8 a.m. every Wednesday as we pray for God's kingdom to come in the areas in which we live. You're most welcome to join us for that. You can do that either via Facebook, YouTube, our website, or Zoom. And if you don't know how to do any of that, then just get in touch with me. But the details are on the website. It's important that we pray for God's kingdom to come. We want to be in God's will as we move forward with our vision and our purpose. In addition to that prayer time, our church building in Bidbury Lane, that's St. Thomas's, is open on a Monday, a Tuesday and a Wednesday between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. for you just to go and have your own quiet prayer time. We know that you can pray wherever you are, but we also know that some of you enjoy praying to God in the church building. So St. Thomas's is open for you to do that on a Monday, Tuesday, and a Wednesday. In addition to that, of course, every Sunday, as well as this online service, we host a 9 a.m. service at St. Nicholas and an 11 a.m. service at St. Thomas's in Bidbury Lane. Again, you can book in with those on the website. Just let me know and we will make sure that we give you a great welcome when you arrive. It's important, isn't it? While we can, that we gather, whether that is virtually online or to physically together. Obviously, there are restrictions. We have to wear a mask and we're currently not allowed to sing in our church buildings. But nevertheless, we gather as God's people as we work through his vision and purpose for Bedhampton, and we worship him at the very centre of all that we do. Also to mention that next week, on the 11th of October, we have a joint service at St. Nicholas's at 10 a.m. So next week, next Sunday on the 11th, no 9 a.m, no 11 a.m, but a joint service at St. Nicholas's at 10 a.m. So that we can then follow that at 11 a.m. with our annual meeting, which we normally hold in April, but for obvious reasons weren't able to do so this year. That's at 11 a.m. And again, that will be broadcast on the internet, on the website and YouTube and Facebook. Again, check out how to do that in the news sheet or email me and ask me for details. But it's all there for you to join in as we come together for our annual meeting. And again, we celebrate all that God is doing and commit moving forward, because that is what we're doing this week. We are celebrating what God is doing and committing to moving forward. One of the things as well that we have committed to over the last year and for next year is Messy Church. And we haven't let a little thing like a pandemic get in the way of that. This week, there'll be a new Messy Church up on the website for those families that you know who are missing Messy Church. Susie and I get a little bit silly in that, and we muck around quite a lot. It's great fun, and we have great fun making it and sharing it with our family. So Messy Church, again, on the website, Share that with all the families you know. Just for a bit of fun, though, here's a quick couple of outtakes from Messy Church.
I won't worry about a thing.
Lots going on in the parish and lots of fun as well. And moving forward, we'll be getting ready for our Remembrance Sunday, working out how to do that nearer the time. We'll be heading towards Christmas. We're going to have our memory service. Still plenty for us to share with our community as we look at our vision and our purpose. This week, we celebrate the harvest and look forward to the vision and purpose that God has for us. And I hope maybe that you've been delivering some food either to the rectory or directly to the food bank, as the food bank, as ever, is our charity of choice as we thank God for the produce that we have. You can leave food for the food bank either at the rectory in Bidbury Lane, there's a black box in the front garden, or drop it off to one of the church buildings on a Sunday. But we celebrate our harvest in doing that. So let's come together now and begin our worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Before we move on into the celebration, let's take a moment just to bring together our mistakes and our sins as we turn to God and away from those mistakes. We repent by turning away from them, turning towards Jesus. And we know that Jesus did the work of forgiveness on the cross. As ever, the words are on the screen for you to join in with. Let's take a moment to be quiet before we do that, just to reflect on our lives. And so we confess our sin and the sins of our society in the misuse of God's creation. God, our Father, we are sorry for the times when we have used your gifts carelessly and acted ungratefully. Hear our prayer. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We enjoy the fruits of the harvest, but sometimes forget that you have given them to us. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We belong to a people who are full and satisfied, but ignore the cry of the hungry. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We are thoughtless and do not care enough for the world that you have made. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We store up goods for ourselves alone, as if there were no God and no heaven. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen in us all goodness. And keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So as we thank God for all that he's done for us in the last year, even in the midst of a pandemic, I wonder what it is that you are most grateful for. Let's take a time to be quiet for a moment as we consider what it is in our lives that we are most grateful for. I asked that question of my nephew during the week, and he came back with these very wise words for someone so young.
Not being lonely.
Not being lonely.
Having people around. My family. My dinner.
Your dinner, your food.
My... being born.
Being born. Life in general, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, with those words ringing in our ears and with the thoughts in your head, let's take a moment to sing that traditional harvest song that perhaps this year might mean even more to us. We plough the field and scatter.
Fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine and soft refreshing rain. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord for all His love. He only is the maker of all things near and far. He paints the wayside flower, lights the evening star. The winds and waves obey Him, by Him the birds are fed. Much more to us His children He gives our daily bread. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord for all His love. We thank Thee then, O Father, for all things bright and good. The seed time and the harvest, our life, our health, our food. Accept the gifts we offer, for all Thy love imparts. And what Thou most desirest are humble, thankful hearts. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord for all His love. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord for all His love.
In our church buildings over the weekend, during that hymn, we would have brought forward the physical gifts for others. So out of our abundance, then we give to others. If you have not yet done that, maybe you'll take a moment over the next week just to deliver some produce to the food bank, or to drop it off at the rectory, or even when you're shopping in your favourite supermarket, to drop it in the food bank bin, wherever you are, just as a small sign of our gratitude to God. We're going to have our Bible readings now. Firstly, we're going to hear from Colin, reading a psalm, and then from Vanda, who will read from Luke for us.
The reading comes from Psalms, Psalm 65. Praise awaits you, O God in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. O you, hear prayer. To you all men will come. When we're overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, of God our Saviour, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. Those living far away fear your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with corn, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow, the hills are clothed with gladness, the meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with corn. They shout for joy and sing. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 20. Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal those there who are ill and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, listen to me, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
I wept as I heard him say the words, "I'll pay your mortgage for you." Have you, I wonder, ever felt so overwhelmed with someone's generosity that you were literally fit to burst? Or perhaps just supremely humbled that someone would care so much for you? I think I've probably shared the story of that low point in my life when a friend said he would pay my mortgage for me. And he did just that. For several months, actually, he paid my mortgage. The impact of that on my life, on my spiritual life, on my physical life was just huge. The impact of that on my future was massive. I was humbled and grateful for God's provision in my life through, it has to be said, one of his people. And for me, such generosity just demanded a response. I mean, have you ever been in that situation where somehow generosity just seems to demand a response? Maybe it's a small thing that someone has done for you, or maybe as huge as the thing that was done for me by a follower of Jesus. An act that made you ask, why would they be so kind to me? As we remember those times, whether they are big or they are small, remember that feeling that says, this demands a response. It's like a universal law, isn't it? Somehow we have to respond positively. That is, of course, why once a year we share the harvest together, and we share Harvest Festival, and we sing songs of God's provision, and we always have done for many, many years. Perhaps now we need to celebrate God's provision all the more in these times. One of our responses is that we do give that food that I've already mentioned several times in this service. Paying it forward is how some people put it, that we would benefit someone else after we have received benefit. Wikipedia, although I'm not a great fan of it, says this about paying it forward. And I think in this situation, they've nailed it. Paying it forward is an expression for describing the beneficiary of a good deed, repaying the kindness to others instead of to the original benefactor. Now, as I said, I often don't recommend Wikipedia as a source of all knowledge, but it seems to be correct to me. They seem to have nailed that one. And that's why we pay forward what we receive to the food bank. And then we go home from our service, whether it's physical or online, and all is right with the world again. Or do we? Because God's provision through the harvest is simply one way that he provides for us. Perhaps our question should be, well, what does this book or this collection of books we call the Bible say about what our response should be to the provision of God? How do we pay forward the fact that he came looking for you and I? How do we pay forward the fact that he died for you and I? We respond according to this overarching story that we read throughout the whole of the Bible. We respond not by looking at one verse and saying that's the way that we respond, but we respond by the background story that we see, the story that says we are to love God and love his people, and that we are to be obedient to the call to do that, obedient to the call of God. That's our response to his generosity. And we see that in examples of, I mean, for example, in the Old Testament, we see that in many ways. But if we just look at some of the ones that you will know, Moses and Joseph, what do we see about their response to paying forward God's generosity? Moses finds that he's called to be a leader of God's people. Joseph finds himself in a dungeon after his brothers have thrown him there. But what is Joseph's response where God pulls him out of that prison, out of that dungeon, out of that jail, and places him in the utmost place of society? What is his response to the interpretation of dreams that he has? He is obedient to God's call to love people and to share that good news. As he shares about what will happen with the harvest, God uses Joseph to rescue the people from starvation. Even in the fact that Joseph is obedient to the call and pays forward to other people, God's generosity, God is even more generous. And then Moses, as I said, Moses, a great leader, perhaps the greatest of leaders in our Old Testament. What is his response to God? Initially, he says, I'm not good enough to be a leader for you. Choose someone else. But then when he looks at what God is doing, the generosity of God, he pays it forward. He's obedient to the call that God has placed upon him. And he leads people out of slavery towards the promised land. It's not easy en route, is it? But Moses is responding to God by paying it forward and being obedient to that call. And in the New Testament, we see many similar examples. We see people trusting God and being obedient as a response to his generosity. I mean, we could pull stories from Paul or Timothy or any of the individual disciples. But I particularly love the way that Luke describes that in his gospel. We read this in Luke 10. After this, the Lord appointed. Hold on. We need to stop there before I continue reading, don't we? Because if you have seen Polly, our friend, teach on the Bible before online or in the church buildings, you'll know that when you read words like therefore or after, you need to just go back and read the bit before, because you need to understand what the context of the following text is. And if we go back from Luke 10 to Luke 9, the chapter before, we see that there is lots of context to understand. Jesus has just given the disciples the power to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God with nothing but the clothes on their back. And then the disciples come to Jesus with a problem of feeding 5,000 people. And Jesus says, well, feed them. Only when the disciples flounder does Jesus step in. Then we find out that Peter declares that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus then goes on and says to them that he must die on the cross. And then we hear of a cloud where Father God appears in the cloud to confirm to the disciples that Jesus is indeed his son. That doesn't stop there. There's plenty more context. Jesus goes on to heal someone because, again, the disciples don't believe that they can do it. And finally, Jesus reminds them that if you want to see God's kingdom come, you need to commit the whole of who you are to him and move forward. It's a day in the life of walking with Jesus, a day in the life of a disciple. And there is huge amounts going on in chapter 9. Basically, Jesus is showing his apprentices that not only does he have the power, but they have the power in him to bring God's kingdom. If only they would believe, if only they would be obedient and commit, we see that Jesus would send them out. And then after being told all this, we read in chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. The response of God's love for them and for me and for you is to simply go. That's what Jesus says. To go, to trust God, to be obedient to the call, and to share that love with others. The results of those interactions are irrelevant. And we read about that as well. Jesus says to the disciples, shake the dust off your feet. If things don't go the way that you think they should have done, if people don't react in the way that you would hope they do, if they don't come, if they turn you away, shake your dust off your feet as you go. It's a very Jewish way of saying, don't worry about the results. Your job, my job, their job is simply to be obedient to Jesus, to love God, to love people, and to go and share that. That is our response as a church here in Bedhampton to the harvest of love that we receive from God, to commit, to trust in him, to be obedient to his call on our lives, and to go. And that is what we've been looking at for the last few weeks as we've looked at our vision and our purpose once more. That is what we look at committing to the next year. And the question, of course, is, what is my part? What is your part in that? Sometimes with this idea of paying it forward, there is some sort of underlying theme about if you pay it forward, you'll get more. Like some sort of cosmic karma would happen. But that is not what we're talking about here. I'm sad to say that even some Christian groups would suggest such a thing as well. That somehow the more we give, the more God will give us, which isn't entirely what we read here. There isn't such a thing as Christian karma. Our response to go and give is not to get more, but it's a response to the love, to the kindness that God has shown us by sending his son for you and I. It's not an investment. It's an act of obedience and commitment to our Lord. And so today, as part of our thanksgiving for the last year and as a commitment to the next, I want to once again give you the opportunity to respond as we do every year. For the last few weeks, as we have been looking at our vision and our purpose, I have asked you to simply go away and pray into each area. What is your part in God's work here in Bedhampton or wherever you happen to live? Today, we give you an opportunity to respond to that. And I want to be very clear about this. If you have joined us online by happenstance today, feel free just to sit back and relax. This next part is about those who are committed to the work here in Bedhampton. Perhaps it is that you've joined us online over the last few months. And by all means, you are now part of our family. And if you feel that you want to commit to this, fantastic, join us. Or perhaps you are part of our church body here that normally come together in the buildings but can't right now. Well, this is for you as well. But it's not for you to worry about if you just happen to be with us today. This is about our commitment to God's vision and purpose in Bedhampton. And if you went to one of the church buildings today, you would have been given a red and a green envelope. And likewise, as part of our online community, you can go to our website to find the red and the green envelopes. And we've asked you over the last few weeks to pray and ask yourself what your part is. And the green envelope is an opportunity to place in there what your commitment is of service to God over the next year, as we look at serving the community of Bedhampton by sharing God's love and friendship. You might want to respond from your prayers about how you're going to do that. Inside the green envelopes that are available in our buildings, there are some suggestions about how you might do that, some areas of service as we reach out to our community. But don't be constrained by what I have suggested. I'm sure the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And if you write on that what you feel that God is asking you to be part of, then I personally will read all of these and respond to you. Equally, there is a red envelope. And the red envelope is about your commitment of money to God's vision in Bedhampton over the next year. Now, the last thing in the world that I ever wish to talk about on a Sunday morning is money. And I worry, as do other church leaders, about the perception that all the church ever does is talk about money. Well, we talk about it once a year in Bedhampton. Actually, perhaps we should talk about it more, because Jesus talks about it a whole lot more and about the impact it has on our lives. But that's a discussion for another time. But maybe over the last few weeks, if you've been looking at our vision and our purpose and praying for that, maybe God has put on your heart a sum for you to commit to his work over the next year. It's been hard for us over the last 6 months, as it's been hard for everyone. And we will find it a struggle to recover from COVID, as everyone does. But our worship is about the whole of who we are, both in our time, in our service, in our worship on a Sunday morning, in our worship during the week, and also in our bank balance as well. And so it would be wrong for me to not give you an opportunity to commit the whole of who you are to your service. And if you are one of our online family, you can go to the website and also partake in those two actions of giving time and money through our green and our red envelope system. And you can bring those envelopes back over the next week or so and just place them, both of them, into the bowls in our buildings. Whatever God has called you to do, however big or small you feel that is, whatever your response is, that is right. The green envelopes, as I said, I will personally read and respond to you to. The red envelopes will simply go straight to our treasurer as your commitment to this work over the next year. And we do that because we are a church who want to serve the community of Bedhampton by sharing God's love and friendship through our money and through our time. And we are very grateful for all, both from you. And we know at this time, you know, things are different, aren't they? During this time of the pandemic and COVID, how we serve people of Bedhampton by sharing God's love and friendship is different. But we do that using the whole of who we are. So thank you for your commitment to that vision and purpose. We're now going to listen to a song, or sing along to a song of worship, as we reflect further on those envelopes and what God might be saying to us. I will offer up my life.
I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed. Loving a king, Savior, what can be said? can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
It's been great to share with you today, and now we're going to continue as we normally would in our worship and just thank God in our prayers and lift to Him the areas of concerns we have. So as Rosalind leads us in prayers, why don't you also pray silently or out loud as she prays? God can hear all of us.
Dear Father God, thank you that we can bring our prayers to you. You are a good, good Father, aware of every need, sadness and joy. Thank you that you promise that as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. We pray that in these troubled times, you would turn our hearts to your ways and give us peace. We pray for those who are fearful. May they know your peace that passes all understanding and put their trust in you. We pray for those affected financially by the COVID situation. Help them to be creative as they work out what to do. Thank you for all of the little online businesses that have cropped up. Oh Lord, help our economy in these difficult times. We pray for a falling infection rate for us here and for the world. Thank you that you can do more than we can possibly think or imagine. We pray for a safe and effective vaccine. We pray for our government. Grant them wisdom, integrity and compassion as they cope with this crisis. We pray for unity between the countries, that they would work together. We pray for local government as they eke out resources. Thank you for our young people. We pray for those who have gone to university. We pray for safety and support for them. Grant wisdom to those charged with their welfare. Thank you, Father, for our NHS. May we never take it for granted. Bless all those who work for it, protect them, and help those responsible for running our NHS. Help them in the decisions that they have to make. We pray for America as they think about their presidential elections. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Help the countries of the world to combat climate change. It is such a huge thing, but thank you that nothing is too difficult for you. Pray for those who are being persecuted for their faith. Protect and guide them. We pray that they would have a voice and governments would have the courage to stand up for them and not sweep problems under the carpet. Thank you for our online messy church. We pray that you would use it for your glory. Thank you for Susie and Max. Be everything that they need. Surround them and fill them with joy and peace. Thank you for all of our leaders. Please bless them as they seek to serve you. Dear Lord, we pray that many would turn to you. Thank you for your mercy and faithfulness. Amen.
And we bring those prayers and the prayers of our hearts together in the prayer that Jesus taught us as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Have a brilliant week ahead of you. I pray that God, through his Spirit, goes with you. You should know that he's with you wherever you are, in whatever valley or hill you are on, he is with you. Do feel free to get in touch with me and let me know how you are enjoying these services online, or if you have a prayer need, again, reminding you that we pray every week on a Wednesday at 8 a.m. It would be lovely for you to join us, or you can go to St. Thomas's on a Monday, Tuesday, or a Wednesday. And as we go, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen. Have a great week.
We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine and soft refreshing rain.